Joshua couldn't do this alone. He had to have a leadership team. And he did. He had supportive and capable leaders working with him. But even with the leaders, this was not possible. The land settlement required 100% involvement with the nation. So Joshua, his leaders, and the people had to do this together. Together, they would combine their efforts to work and fight and move and go forward and then gain the prize. Let's look at this story as it's found in the first chapter and apply the principles of obedient action and unity to us. It all begins with God's direction to Joshua. And it started with Moses. Moses had given him instruction. He had shown him how to lead. He encouraged him in the right way, told him, depend on the Lord. But Moses was no longer there. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, it came to pass that Yahweh spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. So Moses is not there. This impressive man, the one that has been leading them for 40 years, now Joshua, whom everybody knows, steps forward, and God has a job for him. The people of Israel gathered east of the Jordan River in preparation to cross so they could begin to gain this inheritance that God had promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, 400 plus years prior to this. And with the people standing literally within eyeshot of the promised land, God stated in verses 2 and 3, two different times, something. Take a look. God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land that which I do, look at this word, give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you. This is a gift of God. God is giving it to the people of Israel. God's promised inheritance was not something, however, that would just be taken without effort. Yes, it's a gift, but the gift is going to require some effort for all believers. God's promises require faith. But for those of us who have been saved for a little bit of time, faith is not just accepting whatever God gives. Faith becomes something a little bit more challenging for us. And the more mature we become, the more challenging faith actually is. Faith usually requires our active participation. Often hard work. We mature saints, this is how God works. He works through us. When they left Egypt, God did all the work himself. He sent the plagues. He had Pharaoh say, okay, go. They left. They got to the Red Sea. And God even said to the people, don't do anything. I'll do it. And he opened up the Red Sea. And the people went across and said, you know what? This believing life is easy. All we have to do is sit back and let God do it all. That's not how it works. From that point on, there was effort on their part. God expects his people to work in order to gain what he promises. He works through his people, not simply when we decide to do what we want to do. It is when we submit to God's direction as found in his word. Take a look in chapter 1, verse 7. He says to Joshua, be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it, to the right hand or the left, so that you can prosper. All right, so do what I tell you to do in order to gain the blessing. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Meditate it day and night, so that you can do according to all that is written. Then you'll get prosperous. In other words, we have to follow the direction of God's word if we're going to see his success. The promised land was inhabited by people roots, including giants. settle in this Transjordan area. They had defeated the kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og. If you remember anything about Og, he's the guy who had a bed that was 13 feet long, suggesting, well, we knew he was one of the giants, suggesting he was a pretty tall guy, and it was made out of iron. So he's a big guy. He's the king of Bashan. So we have Sihon and Og. sitting back on our own. To apply this story to our current situation, the church is actively involved and engaged in spiritual work and in spiritual battles. You know, we don't look at it that way because when we think of church, what do we think of? This building and Sunday meetings. Like, that's the church. Well, this is when the church is gathered, and this is the location that we commonly gather in. But the church is more than that. When you and I are out in the world, we're still part of the work of the church, and there's much to be done. You and I are giving the gospel. We are on the offensive. We are fighting against the devil and the workers of the devil. The Bible talks about that in Ephesians chapter 6. And they're saying here in verse 17, only Yahweh, your God, be with you. In other words, don't rely on us. Always rely on the Lord. I might fail, God won't. These are good people. Think about that. They didn't know how long they were going to be on the other side of Jordan before they could actually go and live where they wanted to live. They could have said, the conquest over here was so easy. Surely when you go over there, it's going to be just as easy. Why should we have to waste our time? But they didn't. They submitted to the direction of the unified work of the Lord, even though it meant that they would be away from their families and homes for an extended period. There are many godly saints like these people right here. They know that there is a need. They know there is a cause. They know there is a job and a responsibility, and they will not allow it to go unaided. There are those that have fought the fight and have come to an age or level of experience in which they could, quote-unquote, retire from their efforts, but they won't sit still. They want to work. They want to help others. They want to see the conquest completed and the work of God succeed, and they want to be a part of it. They know that that the work is not dependent on them, but they also know that their lack of involvement will discourage others and that their participation will actually do much for the kingdom. These are people that the Bible says love the Lord, that even swear to their own hurt, but don't change on that, Psalm 15. These are saints that step in where they can, support the leadership, help the church, encourage the next generation, and set the tone for the future. These are saints that will die with their boots on. They have not quit. They have not taken a different direction. They have not established their own, quote, ministry. They have not left the rest of us to fend for ourselves. They are committed to the Lord, and that means that they are committed to the Lord's church and the Lord's leadership in that